The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Golf would be much more interesting if, for one shot in each nine, your partner can just clean your clock.
Dennis, what a jerk! I'm never playing golf with him again.
Who? Gennison?
Steve Gennison.
Why does that name sound so familiar?
He used to be a baseball player.
So you have to think about it in the back of your head, like, is this the time he's going
to
drill
me? Does he have to yell blitz? Like you get to the top and all of a sudden
you get you get Brian Sutton.
We're on the 15th hole. Yeah, he's beating me by a couple of strokes. Then he's about to hit his second shot when he picks up the ball and cleans it.
Now that would be fair.
But you've got to time. If you're the one doing the blitzing, you've got to get time so you don't get whacked with the club.
You go up.
So what?
Sorry. But the rules clearly state that you cannot clean the ball unless it's on the green. The rules are very clear about that.
Yeah,
so I penalized him a stroke. He lost it! We almost came to blow!
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stack, it just...
All right, Brewers fans, we want to hear from you this morning. 800-990-3776. Were you at AmFam Field yesterday? Did you watch Paul Skeens, phenom, pitching almost no-no. Allowed no hits through the seventh inning at AmFam Field. Brewers made a little noise when they pulled him from the game, but that actually is the big story. Should the Pittsburgh Pirates have pulled him from the game? Were you cheering for Paul Skeens yesterday at AmFam Field in the hopes of seeing a no-hitter? And what's the best thing to see at a baseball game? 800-990-3776. Gabe, I want to start with you on this one because you are our resident baseball guy. What obligation does a team have to let a pitcher, a 22-year-old pitcher, making his 11th start of his Major League Baseball career, potentially to be the All-Star starter next week when they hit the Midsummer Classic, what obligation do they have to keep him out there at 99 pitches and let him try for the no-hitter, which is still a pretty cool thing in baseball?
Zero obligation.
None.
Zero obligation whatsoever. Their interest is in the long-term health. And I think everybody's been scared since 2012 when the Mets decided to let Johan Santana go to 134 pitches to finish his no-hitter, and he just kind of wasn't the same after that. So ever since that point, it seems teams have been very, very leery of letting guys go to extra lengths in order to throw no-hitters. And a lot of these teams, when you have a young stud like this, try to put pitching plans in place to try to protect them, to make sure they can stay healthy for as long as they possibly
can. So, if Jordan Love is three touchdowns away from breaking the single-season touchdown record,
yep,
and they've already secured the number one seed,
mm-hmm,
the last game doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Do you play him? Thank you.
But this is a random game in the middle of July. The Pirates are 8.5 games back of the Brewers. Not even comparable. Not
you
even close.
So?
In terms of, well, it is comparable in that you would sit Jordan Love to protect him because the most
correct
important thing would be to make sure he's healthy, yeah, for that playoff game.
We're talking about the end of the season, headed into the postseason,
yes,
versus a random day in July when the kid's only made 11 starts. He's 22 years old. His velocity was not dropping. You checked the game log. You said,
yeah,
he was still throwing 97. The coach said he was tired. I don't know. Do we have the coach sound from yesterday? I don't have a sheet in front of me, so I'm pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling. And Joshy doesn't have a voice, so this is a predicament that I find myself in now. The coach said he was tired. He was looking at him. you know, the eye test, essentially. Mm-hmm. This is where the eye test comes into play. The manager, Shelton, what's his name? I don't remember.
Just make something up.
That's what you do.
Skelton, you know.
I mean, that's basically what he did in terms of the reason he pulled Paul Skeen. He just kind of made something up.
800-990-3776. I do want to hear from Brewers fans. I want to hear people who were at the ballpark yesterday, people who were watching the game yesterday. I was listening to it on the radio. Gabe asked me, were they cheering for him? I said, it's a little tough to know. I was listening to the Euchre call on AM 620, our sister station over there, and I couldn't really tell if fans were cheering for Paul Skeens or not. We did put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll yesterday after the game, after Skeens was pulled in the seventh inning, asking our loyal listeners, do you want him to do it? Do you want to see a no-hitter?
Not when it's 1-0. Maybe if it's 12-0, give him 6-0, but it's 1-0, the game is not over.
Yeah. 1-0, you're still looking to pull out the victory there.
No way in hell.
You don't appreciate the no-hitter?
No, I could care less.
Really?
Unless the Brewers do it or the Sox do it, no.
I think you appreciate it after the game, but you're not rooting. Like, if let's say they let Skeens finish the game, and it's 1-0 going to the bottom of the ninth, aren't you rooting for the Brewers to score a run or two? That's what you're rooting for.
Well, sure, which again, the Brewers did when they pulled Skeens, get to the next pitcher. They weren't able to push either of those runners across, but they did get a couple of guys on the reliever. I think I want to see history. I think I'm able to convince myself that a game in the middle of July where the Brewers have a substantial lead on that opponent is worth it for him. And again, he's a phenom, guys. He has a chance to start the All-Star game for the National League next week. That's enormous. Like, I think I'd like the chance as a fan who paid for my ticket and has the right to cheer or boo or whatever, I suppose, to see a guy get history. I've never seen a no-hitter, Gabe. I've watched a crap ton of baseball.
He's frozen.
I can't tell if it's because he lost his voice or he's shocked that I almost slipped. I've seen a lot of baseball, and I've never seen a no-hitter. There's a part of me that if I was sitting at AmFam yesterday would have been like, kind of would have liked to have that on my resume.
But at what point are you cheering for it? You're cheering for it in the seventh inning?
I'm cheering for him to go back out there in the eighth. I'll tell you that.
I think that there are certain things in baseball that we just need to accept. And, I mean...
You ever throw one?
No, I was a terrible pitcher.
I threw one my sophomore year in high school.
You did?
I did.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
How many guys did you hit?
Cool.
Josh is going to be all over those hotkeys today since he lost his voice.
All right, this is war.
I don't know how you're going to fight back.
Yeah, it's not a fair fight. He has no voice today.
Kind of a big deal.
I've walked some guys in the left fielder. It was questionable whether it was an error or a hit. And they
clearly
gave
an
error.
tight situation like that, Chew.
I couldn't play baseball, though. I couldn't.
What do you mean you couldn't play
baseball?
So
flipping boring.
Oh, I knew that's what he was going to say.
Boring.
I knew that's what he was
going to
say.
Boring can be. Is it boring?
I
kind of like him with no voice.
Somehow has more attitude.
These are amazing this morning. That's Josh DiMaggio, who lost his voice overnight, but still making his voice heard this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wait a minute. As somebody who threw a no-hitter, I would think you would have more appreciation for how challenging it is. Again, call notwithstanding, to get a no-hitter.
He threw a no-hitter. He doesn't want anybody else to ever throw a no-hitter.
Oh, yes. Right.
That's a good point, yes. But, I mean, outside of pitching and catching, holy cow.
In the hitting.
If I could hit every other time, I guess I would probably play. But sitting there and having the weight, oh.
Oh, you wanted, like, automatic nexies?
Yeah. Like wiffle ball, four guys on a team. You hit it to the opposite field, you're out. Softball rules. Foul ball, out. Yes.
Ghost men and whatnot. 800-990-3776. I do want to hear from Brewers fans this morning. Would you root for Paul Skeens? Again, I'm not saying any random pitcher. I'm using him as the specific example because of who he is, what he has done, what he could do in the sport. Again, we talked about next week, he has the opportunity to start as a rookie in the Major League Baseball Midsummer Classic for the National League at the age of 22, guys. Dumpy in West Bend is on the line, 800-990-3776. Let's go out to Dumpy. Dumpy, what do you say about Paul Skeens? Should they have kept him in? And as a Brewers fan, did you want to see a no-hitter at AmFam Field yesterday?
I wouldn't leave somebody in with that young, with that long of a career ahead of him. I wouldn't take any chances. He could end up with another Gasser situation where you got to shelf him for a year while he's you know, immensely helping your club.
Didn't that happen with Strasburg?
Yeah, I mean, they
kept him in too long or something like that, and he wound up his UCL.
They had very strict rules for him. Very strict. And he still blew out his UCL. Still needed Tommy John surgery.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they tried to keep it as strict as they possibly could and to try to preserve him. And that's the other thing, because a team like the Pirates.
Yeah.
Like, whenever Paul Skeens, if this presumably continues, they're never going to be able to afford him. Or they're going to choose not to afford him, I guess. Yeah. Apologies to Josh.
To Jeff Passan.
they're going to choose not to afford him. So if he ends up tearing his elbow and needs Tommy John, that's a year of control that you lose. And that's just devastating to a team like the Pirates.
But they haven't. I'm looking at his game log. They haven't kept him in check in any of the other starts. I mean, in four of the last 10 starts, he's gone up over 100 pitches. Now, he was at 99. He threw 107 in the previous game. Maybe I can hypothesize and say the accumulation,
yeah,
the cumulative of last start at 107 and this start at 99, maybe they thought that was too much, right? Still getting 5 days rest in between, I believe. I didn't check the date, but that'd be my guess as to how they're using this kid. The difference between Johan Santana, the example that you used earlier, is with the New York Mets. I believe he threw the Mets first no-hitter, right? The first no-hitter in Mets history, so it was a big flipping deal for the Mets. He was 33 years old. So it's a little bit more understanding that then he struggled to bounce back from that, and he was never the same. Skeens is 22. I mean, you talk about a rubber arm sometimes, right? Like, this guy has done it all so far. I'd be shocked if going a few more innings, again, he threw six in the seventh, Chew. He threw six pitches in the seventh inning. So essentially his efficiency was getting better as the game was going on.
But if you're throwing 99 through seven, you're looking at what, Gabe, 130?
So, yeah, so that's the thing. So, yes, he went 107, which is the highest of the season in his previous start. I mean, even if he is super efficient and goes 6-6 his last two innings.
Yeah.
Like, you're going up over that total.
And that's best case scenario.
Which, again, it would not have happened. He would have at minimum.
I think that's why they did it.
Minimum 120, 125. Because that's what he was going to need to finish the thing.
Yeah.
And, if he was at 110 pitches, are we having this conversation?
No.
Mm-mm.
And he probably would have been 110, 115 pitches through eight innings. And it's like, we can't let
him. Do you like this trend of baseball? Because the trend feels like it's a little cyclical. It feels like you should let players do cool things was where we were at one point. Then it was like, well, you can't let players do cool things if it potentially affects their future. And as you mentioned, Gabe, the investment we are making in that arm. And then it seems like the pendulum has swung where fans are again like, hey, we'd like to see cool things. Cool things aren't happening all that often. Can you please put a pitcher in a position to do cool things? And here's what I will say. 20 to 30% of major league pitchers are going to have Tommy John. It is essentially at a fourth or a third. Like, so there's a part of me that says they're all going to get Tommy John. Not all, I know. I'm using an absolute when I shouldn't. But a chunk is going to have to get Tommy John surgery anyway. If you had to bet right now, do you think Paul Skeens has Tommy John before his Major League Baseball career is over, Gabe?
Well, the numbers say no. I'll lean towards no.
The 75 to 75%.
That don't need Tommy John surgery. I will lean towards that direction. If I'm getting that kind of odds, I will lean that in the heavy favorite there.
So, Chew, you have no issue with Skeens being pulled, and to take it one step further, you would never root for an opposing pitcher to throw a no-hitter in your home ballpark.
Correct.
Well, what if it's perfect game, Brewers are losing 6-0, you get to the ninth inning. Guy's trying to close out a perfect game.
A perfect game?
Yeah, perfect
game. That's different than a no-hitter.
Yeah, 100%. It's the next level.
It's up to the player. It's up to the player.
I'm saying if you are at a game, if the pitcher threw eight innings, had his team up 6-0, going into the bottom of the ninth, he just needs three outs to get the perfect game. Are you rooting for the perfect game?
What's his pitch count?
But are you as a fan rooting for the perfect game?
No, I don't root for the opponent,
okay?
Ever.
Even if they're up 6-0.
Like, did you, when you went to the Ryder Cup,
yeah,
and a European hit a good shot, did you clap?
No.
No. What are you doing here?
That's a good point.
You know?
That's a good point.
Do I want Justin Jefferson to come in and break Jerry Rice's record? Single game, whatever. No, hell no.
I'm having deja vu. Did we not talk about something similar to this just a few weeks ago? Did we not talk about fans and being good fans, and good fans means you don't root for the opponent? What is the difference in history of how many no-hitters there have been versus perfect games in Major League Baseball? I believe there have been up over 300 no-hitters in baseball. I believe the perfect game is under 30.
Yeah, less than 30.
I think it's 20-something. Perfect game 25. In baseball history. I thought that the number would pop. 24? 24 perfect games in history. There should be 25. There should be 25. You know how I feel about that. Yeah, you know how I feel about that. We'll hold it for another few weeks, but you know how I feel. It should be 25.
The man cried.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to Justin in Middleton. Justin, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your thoughts on yesterday's potential no-hitter at AmFam Field.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. I think it goes back to a conversation you guys had a few weeks ago. And it was in regards to Paul Skeens when he was pulled. And they gave him a standing ovation. And you guys are like, what are they doing? Why are they giving him a standing ovation?
Yeah, I was in St. Louis.
I don't remember. Yeah, I was in St. Louis. And you guys are like, what are they doing? It's not like this guy's a legend yet. And so that would be my only thought. And then just real quickly, Joshy does indeed sound a bit rough. He sounds like Tausch when Tausch tried to do the show one time. I feel bad for the guy, but he sounds like Tausch when he tried to do the show, and he's like, I feel fantastic. So, thanks,
I
guys.
Feel fantastic.
He started.
That's the first time we've heard Joshy's voice, by the way. Like, we heard him in the production meeting this morning, and then we were like, hey, buddy, take five. Like, don't do that anymore. But it occurred to me just a moment ago, every time you take a call, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, or Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Okay, so we'll try to limit that as much as possible this morning. 800-990-3776. Lots of folks weighing in saying, did we or did we not comment or make fun of Cardinals fans a few weeks ago for cheering for the other team? So I want to make the distinction. Weren't we talking about Skeens having like a quality start in that one, and the Cardinals kind of gave it up for the quality start?
So he also, it was a very similar situation. I mean, I guess it was only 6 1/3, but he was at 103 pitches and they pulled him. He had given up zero hits at that point. So it was very similar situation. Very similar.
Is there a situation in football where you would cheer for the other team? Hell no. Against the Packers.
Okay, I don't want to put the... But when Brett had some of his, like, games, right? Where you were like, oh my God, he's on another level. Everybody talks about the game after his dad died. Are you trying to tell me that there were fans in that stadium that weren't cheering for him?
That's a different situation.
Why?
Because his dad died at a young age. Right?
I mean, Raiders fans were cheering for Brett that night.
Yes, that's... And you... So, this is not convenienttheoriesforyou.com, buddy. It'd be like... So someone has to die for you to cheer?
I think the situation there where it happened on Friday, the question was...
Was he going to play?
And he comes out and says, my dad would want me on that field. I think you appreciate that. That's a totally different situation.
So hold on then. Would they have cheered for him regardless of what he had done on the field?
No.
If he goes out...
Not
in a million. It's because he had such a big night. Gabe, what were the numbers from that night? Pull up your encyclopedic brain.
He had 399 yards passing, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. And his dad was a...
Did you just really do that? Did you just seriously do that?
Yeah, look it up. It's 399 yards and 4 touchdowns.
That's so funny. I love it. Because you want to know something? For a moment, I was like, oh, crap. I threw him when he doesn't know. I feel real bad. And he was like... And he spits the numbers out like a psychopath. I love it so much. We got to get to Jason Wilde. We also have Craig Karmazin this morning. Don't forget about Week in Rechew. It is a Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Keep getting us your reaction to the Paul Skeens situation yesterday at AmFam Field. Brewers did lose that game 1-0. Paul Skeens pulled after the seventh inning, 99 pitches with a no-hit bid in place. We roll on right after this.
Tune into the Thanasis Show each and every week. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis at Atacumbo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, a chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find the Thanasis Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to the Thanasis Show on YouTube and see exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Thanasis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is something that I believe Jason Wilde and I have in common. We both root for stories. So yesterday, as I'm listening to the dulcet sounds of Bob Uecker on our sister station, AM 620, WTMJ, and the Brewers are being no-hit by Paul Skeens, I'm kind of hoping he does it. I'm kind of hoping that the 22-year-old throws a no-hitter at AmFam Field. Jason? Are you rooting for the story in that sense, or are you rooting for the crew?
I'm not rooting for the story because apparently I hate Livy Dunn, and since that's his girlfriend.
What do you mean, apparently?
Yeah, who says you hate Livy Dunn?
So I don't hate her. But so yesterday, Tausch called her a great gymnast. And I am as you guys well know, I am a big believer in the precision of words. And she's not a great gymnast. She's a great social media personality. She's a great NIL athlete of the NIL era. But, you know, I reserve great for great. And I was labeled a hater because I was pretty irritated that we would be conferring that word to someone who's like the third or fourth best gymnast on her team, the LSU Tigers. So God bless her, man. She has done a fantastic job of parlaying her gymnastics career at the college level into fame and fortune. But I'm sorry, the word great is reserved for greatness. And you can't be the fourth best player on your team and be considered great. You just can't. So nothing against Paul. I assume he did not succeed in his no-hit bid.
That's correct. He was pulled after the seventh inning.
Feels like you would have heard about that, big guy.
That's exactly my point. So yeah, no, I didn't know he was no-hitting them. I would not have been rooting for him because I wouldn't want anything to make Livy Dunn happy, obviously, because I hate her so much, from what I understand.
There's so much sarcasm in this conversation. My brain is like trying to sort through it, but I think I follow what you're saying. So yesterday, obviously, no, he did not get the no-hit, but this is a 22-year-old guy who is potentially going to start the All-Star game, got selected for the All-Star game. It's the first time in Major League Baseball history that a guy was drafted and then is in the All-Star game the summer after he was drafted. And there's a chance he will start for the National League. So there's a part of me that is just like, this guy's on another level. I want to see him do all the things, get all the flowers.
Yeah, I'll say this. I am intrigued by this year's All-Star game, which I don't know if I can say since like Bo Jackson was playing in the All-Star game or Fred Lynn was hitting a grand slam at Comiskey Park in 1983 and Robin Yount, four guys on base when Atlee Hammaker served up the grand slam gopher ball. So that's my extent of interest usually in the All-Star game, but after having Christian Yelich in the studio and him being back at his previous form, I'm rooting for him. And now I'll have to root for Mr. Livy Dunn, too.
Jason, in all your years of covering the pack, is it 30 years?
I cannot tell you how happy I am that you're asking a question right now.
Oh, thank you. It might not be good, but I'm asking it. Are you at 30 years yet?
This will be season 29.
Season 29. In your 29 years of covering the team, if Jordan Love does not sign before the start of training camp, will this be the second biggest distraction heading into a season that you've experienced?
Second to?
You know. You know.
Flight aware.
12-4.
That's not a record.
I don't know what you're talking about. I assumed you were referring to that year that Sterling Sharp decided to hold out on the eve of the start of the actual season, which was the year, I think, 2 years before I got on the beat. So, I would say this. I don't think it's going to be as big of a distraction as we might think. But I do, and I've been saying this for a while now, so I'm sorry to repeat myself, but I do wonder what kind of impact it'll have on the really good vibe, really good juju that they've got going on, right? Like, I don't know how sustainable that is. Like, I'm writing about the wide receivers for my position-by-position preview for the State Journal, and, like, they're all, like, I think they're authentically kumbaya, all rooting for each other, all buddies, but that doesn't last either, right? Like, sooner or later, guys are going to want to get paid. Guys are going to want more balls. That's not going to last. And in the case of the Jordan Love situation, like, there is such a good feeling and vibe around this team that if he doesn't have his contract to start the season or to start training camp, and he's reporting, but he's not super happy about it, he is thinking about some of the risks that might be involved, like, if that happens, I do think that it kind of puts a damper on the good vibrations, to use a Beach Boys term, since they played a concert last night up here. But distraction, no. And it's certainly nothing will ever even be in the same stratosphere as the summer of 2008. Like, not even the Rodgers stuff the last couple years of his tenure was anywhere close to what that was. I look back on that and I just think, oh my goodness, how did that play out the way it did? But hopefully, you know, if I cover the team for another 29 years, we don't have another repeat of that.
Jason, did you ever have any run-ins when Monty Kiffin was the defensive coordinator to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Any Monty Kiffin stories?
Not personally. But I do know this, and Chewy, I'm sure, has already said this and can vouch for this. The Tampa 2, for a period of time, was the kryptonite for Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he really, really had a hard time with it because, you know, he was a swashbuckling hero quarterback who did not want to dink and dunk and take what opponents gave him. And so I'm just fascinated, and Chewy can speak way better to this than I can, but I'm just so fascinated by how cyclical the NFL is and how smart the coaches are that Monty Kiffin and Tony Dungy can conjure up this defense, this Tampa 2 version of a cover 2 scheme that really flummoxes a lot of really, really good quarterbacks and really good offensive-minded coaches. And then, after a few years, those offensive-minded coaches and those quarterbacks start to figure it out, and now you have to adjust. And the chess game, like, here we are. Think about Joe Barry. Like, the Packers hired Joe Barry because that Vic Fangio scheme that he would be bringing was really the kryptonite to the Shanahan, McVay, LaFleur offenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as it turned out, that didn't last very long. And now we're talking about this, as Bulaga calls it, you know, playing the run on the way to the quarterback, this Jets or Jeff Hafley system. And I'm sure after a couple of years, that'll change. Like when Dom Capers, you know, and Bill Cowher had the Blitzburg defense. Like, people didn't know how to handle that. I really think it's fascinating how you think you've got something solved, and for a few years you may, and then no longer is that the case. And Monty Kiffin is at the front of the class with that Tampa 2 defense.
The funny thing is, Jason, if you really look at the Tampa 2 that Monty Kiffin invented, I guess, it's really not cover 2. It's really cover 3.
Right.
It's really cover 3 because the middle linebacker, when he determines that it's pass, just turns and runs.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a whole new set of plays to defeat the Tampa 2. And it sucked for me because a lot of times I have to clear out. But do you think he created that? Jason, you think he created that just for Brett?
I do. I mean, exclusively for him, maybe not, but certainly with him in mind. Because you're right. The concepts that are involved, I mean, look, Urlacher and Derek Brooks, you know, the guys that really, because Lovie Smith obviously brought that to Chicago, and Favre could not figure it out for the longest time either. But again, it's just so dependent on patience. And what's funny is, you know, to your point, you know, lots of teams now, when you look at what the LaFleur and Shanahan and McVay offenses do, the fact of the matter is that it requires you to, A, scheme guys open and then take what the defense gives you. It really, the challenge for Favre was, can we go 10, 12 plays without making a mistake? And that's how you beat the Tampa 2. Well, if you look at what these offenses do now, that's kind of the same idea, right? Like you have to execute because you're not always getting the big play. And so, again, I don't claim to know nearly as much as you do, but there's no doubt that when Monty Kiffin and Tony Dungy were putting this together, I mean, they were still in your division back then.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt that Favre was a major factor in it.
Good stuff, Jason. We appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Listen to Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
If you're planning a fantasy football draft of your own, draft like a champ at Dave & Buster's. Book your fantasy draft and get 20% off food and non-alcoholic beverages and even free appetizers all season long. Get started today. DNBParty.com. DNBParty.com. Speaking of Dave & Buster's, the ESPN Milwaukee Fantasy Football League is back this season, August 1st at Dave & Buster's in Tosa. Select ESPN Milwaukee fans will have the chance to draft their own teams right alongside their favorite ESPN Milwaukee hosts. Make sure you're listening all day long to 94.5 ESPN on July 19th for details on how you can not only have your own team, but team up with one of our own.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
We love our Friday 7:30 appearances from Craig Karmazin. How you doing today, Craig?
We do.
Good. So you have the 7-Eleven. Is that, how long has that tradition been going on?
I think we got it back to 2020. 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024. That's how that works. Yeah, we went to 7-Eleven yesterday, and we just got in by the skin of our teeth, by the way. The 7-Eleven closed at 10. We rolled up at 9:47, and it was a madhouse. Absolutely craziness. Because yesterday was 7-Eleven.
Oh, I was wondering what the hell you guys are talking about. Did you literally go to 7-Eleven?
Yeah. So we do every 7-Eleven.
For Slurpees?
For Slurpees. They're free. Free Slurpees on 7-Eleven. Oh, free advertising there for 7-Eleven as well. You guys want to?
Well,
be a
my birthday is on seven. My birthday is on 7/11. So do I get like something more, or is it just like I get the same thing?
You get a cherry on top of your Slurpee. Gone.
Wait a minute. Happy birthday, Craig. I didn't know yesterday was your birthday.
Oh, yeah. Big birthday.
How old?
52.
49.
Yeah, right.
You really think he's lying?
6 years. Does that sound right? I guess. 6 years difference between us, Craig?
I've been doing a lot of Pilates, Chewy. I am in very good shape.
Still can't get that 135, though, on the bench press.
No, but that is not a humanly possible weight for anyone to lift.
Would you, correct? Would you ever cheer for an opponent playing against your team? Any situation, your team.
So you're saying Skeens walks off the mound. He's pitched seven perfect innings, or if he had gone and pitched the
not
full
perfect because he walked Garrett Mitchell.
No, right? No, I know, and but. I'm saying if he had pitched the nine. I'm saying if he had pitched nine perfect innings, I think I do. If it's a regular season, one out of 162, and I'm as competitive as they come, but if someone actually pitched a perfect game in my building and I was lucky enough to see it, and it's not a postseason game where my team, I think I am.
But that's more appreciating it after the fact, right? Are you actively rooting for it to happen in the middle of the game?
This is a very good distinction.
No, while the game's still going on, I'm still trying to win until the last possible out. But
see, and I think that there are people out there.
Show the respect.
I think there are people out there who root for the moment. I got Tim weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying, I'm so sick of Major League Baseball ruining moments. They continuously rob their fans of sports memories. They want the fame but refuse to put in the effort to get those moments. Which, again, is a sentiment. The idea of, I go to the ballpark, I'm paying to watch both teams. Do I want my team to win? Yes. But if something special is starting to happen and ruminate and marinate, and then I am like, oh, what I said to the guys earlier, Craig, is I've never seen a no-hitter. So a random day in July, I'm not going to sit here and be like, you know.
I only think there's one sport where I could appreciate what the other athlete does, and that's boxing.
Golf?
Boxing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say golf.
No, boxing. Because I remember Tyson Fury fought him a couple times.
Wilder,
and I'm a huge Tyson Fury fan. And Wilder was unbelievable. Just kept getting up, kept fighting. And I think that's the only sporting event that
but you're just respecting the toughness there.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't cheer for the other team or other country.
Okay, but I'm thinking again about moments I've been at arenas, and I was at the United Center for Jordan's game against the Bulls. Now, again, it's all right. It's Jordan. It's the Bulls. It's all that stuff. But like, there was a 3-minute, 5-minute standing ovation. Again, Jordan. He was on the other team,
but
though.
That's, everyone hated Reinsdorf, and like that was very different because I was at the Favre first game back with the Vikings, and there was no cheering for Brett Favre in that game, and he played an unbelievable game, and there was no cheering for Brett Favre.
No, and as there should not have been, especially when you know he's playing for the Minnesota Vikings.
I would love
in the division regular season game. But Chewy, you said other countries. Like, I was at the Olympics, and like once any sport was done, you were cheering for whoever won the gold. It wasn't like, oh, we didn't win the gold, we're gonna like boo Portugal.
No.
Medal stand.
I'm saying if a team is playing the United States, I'm not cheering for them at all. Like Gabe said when he went to the Ryder Cup, if a European stuck a pin or did something, you're not cheering for them. Are you?
No, I don't think so. But I think once if they won, when a match was over, if they had won, it's 3-2 or whatever, I think then you cheer both players because the match is over and you cheer them because they won.
Yeah, I think there's a more of respect something after it happened versus cheering something. I think there is a line there. And I agree with you with that, Craig. Like if I go to AmFam Field and a no-hitter or perfect game happens against the Brewers, like that's going to be after the game, it's like, that was cool. But if I was at the game yesterday, like especially in a 1-0 game, like that game's nowhere near over. I'm not rooting for it to happen.
But you can also cheer him coming off the field after seven innings and then, you know, and give him a rounding ovation and then still hope your team's going to score in the top of the, in the bottom of the eighth.
I don't think there's a situation in football where you would cheer for the other team. Now, Jen brought up Brett when his father passed, but that's a totally different situation.
Yeah, that's a human. That's more of a human thing. What about dude, I think dude kicks a 67-yard field goal right before halftime. I don't think you're cheering him.
No.
Like, I don't think you're cheering.
Yeah, no.
You're cursing out, like, I can't believe that bleeping kicker made that bleeping kick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, like, guy makes an amazing, like, mosses someone and makes this incredible catch over your cornerback. You're not like, oh, that was awesome. You're like, oh, my cornerback sucks.
That was 2011 in the divisional round when Plaxico Burress did it to the Packers when he was playing for the Giants. No. I remember that very vividly, Craig. Was not rooting for Plaxico.
The only time, how about this? Let's just say whatever, Barry Sanders or some player goes over the 10,000-yard mark or passes someone on the all-time list. I think then you do cheer. If it's a career mark, I think you cheer them.
Point.
You just kind of respect. You're respecting the career of a great, right. Of an all-time great. I think you, yeah, especially if they pause the game for it.
Well, Barry's such a nice guy.
That too.
You know?
Right, like Barry Sanders has passed Walter Payton, like, and it's like two icons of the game. Like, you're cheering them, even if you're a Packers fan.
Craig, you going to Vegas at all?
I'm not.
What?
I thought this was
something you did every year for the Summer League.
I'm going to be in Dallas, though, for the Home Run Derby on Monday night.
Yeah, but you'd rather be in Vegas for the Summer League.
I would way rather be in Vegas, but my schedule did not work. Travel did not allow me to be in Vegas this year, unfortunately.
Craig, so we talked about, Craig, in the state, we talked about the three major teams in which over the last 10 years has been run the best. And I think, did we all come up with Brewers? Or no?
I wasn't here.
Oh, you weren't here. Okay, thank you. Re-chew. That's even...
I said the Bucks because they're the one with the championship.
Nope. You got to take everything into consideration. Baseball is unfair. How well they've done. The big losses. Now, I did put the Bucks in front of the Packers. I said Brewers, Bucks.
In the last 10
Packers.
Years, Bucks...
In the last 10 years, how would you rank them?
Yeah, I mean, in the last 10 years... The thing you give the Packers is that they've drafted Jordan Love, right? That's the single best thing they've done in the last 10 years. Because what they did with what they had coming into these 10 years, you'd be severely disappointed. That, I mean, when you look at the results over these 10 years, it's been awful for the Packers, considering what you would have predicted coming into this decade. So, absolutely. I think it's clearly Bucks number one. They won a championship.
But they've been the most disappointing team since that championship in the NBA. They've been the, and I don't want to hear injuries. They've been the most disappointing team in the NBA since they won their championship.
But that's not that's not how they were run. That's disappointment because they've been run so well that their expectations are so high. Like that's not an indication of being poorly run. That's being an indication of you're in like one of the smallest markets and you have that high expectations because you're that well run. It's exactly the opposite.
They built an arena and won a championship. Nobody else can compete with that.
I mean, the Brewers, I think the like results have been unbelievable. And I think we say it's unfair, right? And the Brewers have had unbelievable results, and this team is so fun. But it's not like the Bucks are making money. The Bucks are choosing to lose money. The Brewers don't choose to lose as much money as the Bucks do. That's a business choice. And the Brewers have continued to win and have excellence in the way they do it.
Are you really losing money? Are you really losing money when you buy the team for $400 million and now it's worth $2 billion? You're not losing money.
Well,
you're deferring money.
Well, I mean, I have to send money in. I just wired a bunch of money in, so we're losing money.
You're going to get it back. You're going to get it back tenfold.
Hopefully.
Just write it. Just write it off.
What do you mean write it off? You actually have to pay the money.
Just write it off.
Have that much
come on,
income.
Craig.
I mean, come on, you know.
To write it off again?
Just write it off.
When you actually pay money, you can't write it off. Like, the money's paid.
I do.
I don't know.
I try to.
You're richer than me. You have that NFL money. That's different. NBA money is not like NFL money. NFL's at a whole nother level.
Well, Craig, I hope you get the chance to celebrate your birthday this weekend. We appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. We'll talk to you again next week.
Happy 7/12, everybody.
Does that have any significance whatsoever?
No.
Perfect.
No.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, of course, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go for that diamond engagement ring. They're the best place in Milwaukee to shop for diamond engagement rings, and it is for a reason. It's what I did, and that's what you should go as well, because the helpful team at the Jewelry Center always going to point you in the right direction. Maybe you don't have an idea of what your future spouse wants. Bring in a Pinterest board, and then they're going to take the rest, care of the rest at the Jewelry Center. Naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, of course, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out their inventory at any one of the three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, and in Burlington, or shop online at shoptjc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys, let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending. I just
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hey, are you ready to upgrade the concrete surfaces in your home? Let me tell you about Showtime Floors and Floor Shield. It's used by military bases, airports, businesses, and residential homes like mine. Floor Shield is designed to beautify and protect your concrete surfaces. It has gotten to the point where when I pull in my garage, I almost want to, wipe off the wheels before I pull in to the beautiful surface that the folks over at Showtime Floors put into my house. If you contact Showtime Floors, they will give you a 15-year warranty against wear. And if you mention ESPN, they'll give you free crack repair and 10% off. I got to tell you guys, it's a game changer. Had no idea what I was missing. Go to their website, guys. It's ShowtimeFloors.com. ShowtimeFloors.com to check out their new product, Floor Shield. If you missed any of Jason Wilde or Craig Karmazin's appearances, you can find them always on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. We are going to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on, second hour of the show. Lots of stuff to still get to, including We Can Reach You.